1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
I thought he'd never leave.
Well, I'm a little dinosaur. I'm a little dinosaur. I'm a little dinosaur, but I'm planning to go away. Now I am real old, don't you know? Born 10 billion years ago, but they don't love me here enough, and so I'm planning to go away. Now the children upon their lawn will wake up and wonder where I've gone. And the flies that buzz around where I now be, they're all gonna have to get along without me. They'll say,
where's the little dinosaur?
I didn't
where's
think he'd really go.
Dinosaur?
Where's that
the little dinosaur? He must have
please
gone
don't go away.
Away.
Oh, oh no,
no.
I can't
don't
stand
go.
It.
Oh,
I wish
no.
the little dinosaur would come
go.
Back.
Don't
nobody
go
tells any good
dinosaur.
Jokes anymore since he's
please
gone.
Don't go
everybody
away.
Really likes you, little dinosaur.
Oh,
don't
no.
go.
Please don't
yeah,
go.
They like you.
Oh, no.
They were applauding
please
and everything.
Don't go.
Tell that dinosaur to come
dinosaur.
Back. I want him
please
to come back.
Go
yeah, that's right. Tell
hello,
him to come back.
Name. I'll come back. I'm just your little dinosaur, and I could never really go.
No!
Never really go.
He's back.
Never really go away.
That's Jonathan Richman right here on the Children's Hour. We're learning about fossils today, and this episode comes with a learning guide. Just go to childrenshour.org and look for the episode called Fossils. This summer, the kids' crew and I went on a field trip to learn field recording skills, but also to learn about fossils. We went to a secret fossil dig site just outside of Albuquerque.
We're in the middle of the desert right now in the hot heat, but we're finding a lot of fossils from animals that seem like they lived underwater or things that lived in rivers, but we're in the desert, so how is that possible?
About 300 million years ago, New Mexico was a lot closer to the equator, and the ocean level was a lot higher. So it was basically like a small archipelago of islands. And off of one of these islands flowed a big river that pushed a lot of stuff from the land out into the ocean. And so these rocks preserve not only animals that were living in the ocean, like fish and sharks, but also anything that came down the river, like cockroaches and plants and small amphibians. So it's actually a really cool and interesting mix of the marine and non-marine in one place. And they're preserved here because it used to be an ocean, basically.
There we are. Now it's starting to peel up.
There we go.
Oh, there's a lot on the bottom of this one.
Tons of shells.
They're all stacked up on each other. It's like a little dog pile. Or it's a clam pile.
Why do we have such a collection of fossils all in one area?
So this area was an estuarine environment. So that's where rivers are meeting the ocean. So you get this wonderful mix of terrestrial and marine fossils. So we have things like bugs and plants right alongside fish and sharks.
Doing this is very calming.
Very calming for you?
Yes.
There was a scientist whose name was Alfred Wegener. He noticed that the continents looked just like pieces of a broken puzzle. By 1915 he called it continental drift. It caused a rift with his fellow scientists who sang,
ha ha, Alfred Wegener, you are a crazy man. Show just how or why you merely have one interest.
interesting hypothesis. Until this evidence we see, you don't have a theory. To Greenland, Wegener got caught in a blizzard. When they finally found him, it was much, oh, much too late. And they buried him in an icy mausoleum.
Amoeba People with Continental Drift. And the Continental Drift explains how come all of the land masses on planet Earth really seem to be a puzzle that could be put together. Alfred Wegener saw that long, long ago, and now it's understood that that was correct. And the Continental Drift is the drifting apart of Pangaea, and creating the oceans and the continents as we know them today. You're listening to the Children's Hour, and today we're learning about fossils. Find our Learn Along guide at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, Fossils.
What Makes a Fossil by Amadeus Menendez. Fossils come in many shapes and sizes, from the teeniest mouse teeth to the biggest dinosaur legs. It might seem like fossils can just be any old bone or leaf that's from plants and animals that are old, but that's a very broad definition and one that doesn't really tell the whole story. So, what exactly is a fossil? Does it have to be just from animals and plants, or can it be from other things? Does it have to be a certain age to be considered a fossil? Does it even have to be fossilized? Today, I'm going to be answering these questions and a couple more with Mike Sanchez of the New Mexico Museum of Natural History and Science to figure out definitively what makes a fossil a fossil.
So the word fossorial means, or comes from the word fossorial, which means to be dug up. So originally, people thought of anything that you dug up as being fossil. So a definition of a fossil is any trace of life of a living organism that is more than 10,000 years old. So that's, we had to put an arbitrary date on it. That's what came up. So fossils, though, can be of anything from microorganisms, so you can literally have fossil amoeba, all the way up to fossil dinosaurs and dinosaur bones.
So why are fossils important? What makes them matter and what makes them so significant in our modern day world of science?
Fossils, you can learn a lot about the Earth, its history. And by knowing about the past, you can learn a lot about or predict what's going to happen in the future. Fossils sometimes are extremely important in ways that you wouldn't know. Just as an example, we depend on petroleum. Guess what petroleum is? Petroleum is the fossil remains of microorganisms that lived in the ocean. How do we find it? Sometimes there are these little tiny fossil teeth that are called conodonts that turn different colors depending on how close you are to proximity of a oil deposit. Fossils are also something that tells us about ourselves. We wouldn't know about our ancestry if it wasn't for fossils. So fossils are important across the board. And also there is the intrinsic. They're fascinating to learn about the world of the way it was and use your imagination as to what that is all about. They're fascinating because it's how did animals live? You can learn, for example, that one animal was eating another, or animals were eating plants, and that's still happening today. And it's sort of fascinating to think that hundreds of millions of years ago, these very things were going on. How do we know that? By looking at their fossils.
What makes a dinosaur bone different from, say, a bone that you just dug up?
Well, there's a couple of things. First off, there's the age factor. If it was buried yesterday, it's certainly not going to be a fossil. The other thing is that frequently, bones that have been mineralized, that means fossilized, they soak up minerals through the course of time, and the carbon is replaced with silica. So you wind up with not something that is light, fluffy, like a modern bone, but something that is actually mineralized, heavy and very hard.
Are fossils still being made, and will we eventually become fossils ourselves?
The answer to that is kind of more interesting than you think. Animals are dying every single day, and animals are getting buried, and animals are getting frozen, and animals are, all kinds of things are happening to them, and eventually they're discovered. So, for example, we have a 10,000-year-old mummified elephant from the tundra somewhere. Guess what? If it had only been 5,000 years old, it wouldn't have been considered a fossil. It's just a dead animal out there. So, yes, things are constantly being exposed to the environments in which they will become fossils. Frozen, stuck in amber. As far as will we become fossils, human race will leave behind its fossil evidence. The chances of a particular person actually becoming a fossil is really, really thin. If you think how many elephants have been around, if every elephant had become fossils, then we'd be literally in piles and piles and piles and piles trying to figure our way through dead elephants. But the fact is that it's a one in a million, one in a billion chance of becoming a fossil. So as a human race, we will leave behind fossil evidence, absolutely. But as far as an individual person becoming a fossil, not very likely.
Thank you so much for being on the Children's Hour, and thank you for answering all these questions.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
That's Amadeus Menendez of our Kids Crew and Mike Sanchez of the New Mexico Museum of Natural History and Science. We should note that the New Mexico Museum of Natural History and Science supports the Children's Hour through the New Mexico Department of Cultural Affairs. This is the Deedle Deedle Deeds with a song about Lucy, one of the oldest human fossils ever found.
Down by the Awash River. I remember you, Lucy, when I first found you. We played the Beatles song, that's where we found a name for you. I took you home with me, back to Cleveland. It wasn't long before you were famous. Down by the Awash River, I laid my notes down. I had a feeling, I started searching round. It was hot and dry. Then Lucy, you caught my eye. First your arm bone, then a piece of your skull. Vertebrae, pelvis, ribs, and jaw. That was day one. You and me. I remember you, Lucy, when I first found you. We played the Beatles song, that's where we found a name for you. I took you home with me, back to Cleveland. It wasn't long before you were famous. Upright, that's right, I could tell, cause your legs were like mine. You were a hominid, baby.
but not a chimp. At one site, we found 40% of your skeleton. They call you Dinkanish. In Ethiopia, that means you're marvelous, Odusu. I remember you, Lucy, when I first found you. We played the Beatles song, that's where we found a name for you. I took you home with me, back to Cleveland. It wasn't long before you were famous. Upright,
upright.
That's right.
That's right.
Down by the Awash River.
You're back in Ethiopia.
What are you doing?
Oh, I'm just peeling the layers away, looking for the fossils. See here, there's dumbrellas. The little seashells, see them?
Yeah, I do.
And this dark spot here is a piece of plant material from millions of years ago. My name's Dave. I prospect for fossils.
Why do you look for fossils?
Because I find it enjoyable. I do it for fun.
Oh, how did you get into fossil hunting?
I guess when I was a kid, my dad was like a rock hound, and we'd go out looking for different rocks and fossils.
Wow, thank you.
So currently I'm just using my hammer and chipping away a pretty big piece of gray rock. There's a lot of moisture under these rocks.
Hi, what's your name?
Randy Pence, P-E-N-C-E.
Now, what do you have here?
This is fish vomit.
Oh.
And it's 320 million-year-old fish vomit.
How do you know that's fish vomit?
Because I asked the expert over there.
Do you find a lot of this, or is this more of a rarity?
I found a few out here. I mean, you can find all sorts of stuff. They find coprolites, which is fossilized poop. I found a cockroach out here, which cockroaches have been around forever, probably will be forever.
That's from the summer when we went on a field trip to a secret fossil quarry. You're listening to the Children's Hour. This is Mr. Cooper.
How do we know? How do we know? Dinosaurs lived so long ago. This is a song about fossils. What are fossils, you may ask? Fossils can be found in rocks or in the ground. Fossils are clues from the past. No one's ever seen a dinosaur, so how can we be sure they were real? Scientists found their bones in mud that turned to stone. Their history was revealed. Fossils can be fish, plants, or shells. Skeletons or footprints in the sand. Or insects that were trapped in hardened, sticky sap. Fossils have helped us understand. That's how we know, that's how we know. Dinosaurs lived so long ago.
Listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio. We'll be right back.
This episode of the Children's Hour had special support from Sandia National Laboratories. Many thanks to the Outpost Performance Space for hosting the Children's Hour. The Children's Hour is supported by United Way of North Central New Mexico. Support for the Children's Hour provided by New Mexico Arts, a division of the New Mexico Department of Cultural Affairs, and by the National Endowment for the Arts. Support for the Children's Hour provided by the City of Albuquerque Cultural Services Department and the Urban Enhancement Trust Fund. The Children's Hour can take your unwanted vehicle and turn it into Kids Public Radio. Learn more at childrenshour.org.